We're in the book of 1 John. Today we want to look at three verses, verses 5 through 7. Follow along, if you will. And it would be great if you had your Bible open, because we're going to stay right in this passage, and we'll say some things about the passage, and it would be nice for you to look when we point to certain things. The passage goes like this. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Remember, the Gospel of John had to do with our relationship with God. You believe, you have eternal life. That's the Gospel. We're in the Epistle now, and the Epistle has to do with fellowship. And we need to understand that not all believers are in fellowship with God. Sadly enough, it's the truth. Not only do we see it in our daily walk, in our own walk, we see it in the mirror, but we also see it elsewhere, that not all believers are walking in fellowship with God. Now, we find it also in Scripture. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says that there are spiritual Christians. He said to them, I don't speak to you as spiritual, but as carnal, because they had some problems there. And he's saying, "What these are evidence of the fact that you are not spiritual people. You are carnal people." And then he breaks that down with two kinds of carnal Christians. There are carnal Christians because they're young. They don't know any better. They're babies, he said. If you're preferring one leader over the other, then aren't you babies? Aren't you acting like a baby? Well, that's what happens sometimes. And that's a carnal Christian. That's a baby Christian. Then there are other Christians who are walking in sin. And the sinful Christians are ones who are not in fellowship. They are carnal. They're not spiritual. They're carnal. But they're Christians. Understand that. That a carnal Christian is still a Christian. We have to understand that we deal with that, because we have to be good diagnosticians. You know, a doctor is no better than his diagnosis. I knew a doctor back in when I was little, 100 years ago. The doctor had a lady come in, and he diagnosed her as having TB. And at that time, the way you treated TB was you put them in a thing of ice to do whatever it was. And that's the way you treated TB. Come to find out, she had pneumonia, and she died. Well, that doctor is no better than his diagnosis. And the word got around, and he wasn't a doctor very much longer. That can happen. But we have to diagnose. If you're trying to help somebody, you have to diagnose, are they believers and we want to help them to get into fellowship with God? Or are they unbelievers and we have to get them into a relationship with God? Where do we go? Into the Gospel of John, or do we go into 1 John? That's what we need to know. And so this message tells us something about that fellowship. We're going to learn something today about the ground of fellowship. How do we have fellowship with God? We're talking to believers. Believers are the only ones who can have fellowship with God. No way that the non-believer can. And that means then, all the people who deny the deity of Christ, all the people who deny Jesus Christ, every religion, whoever they are, cannot be in fellowship with God. In fact, they're headed for hell. We have to say that. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. We need to see that. We need to know, are we dealing with this person in TB or in pneumonia? Find out what it is. Because if you're dealing with a believer, with an unbeliever, and you say to him, now, you need to get in fellowship with God, we miss the point. He'll never get in fellowship with God. We need to say, you are an unbeliever. Find out where he is. If he's an unbeliever, then we say, you need to believe on Jesus Christ, receive eternal life. Then you can go into fellowship with God. You understand? Right, that's what we're talking about. So, this point, this passage here tells us the ground of fellowship. How do you have fellowship with a holy God? First thing in verse 5 is this. The message concerning fellowship. the message. He said, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. This is the message. The source of message. Where does this message come from? Is John think this thing up? See? Or, to say it another way, did I think this up? If you're expecting to hear something from me, forget it. Leave right now. Because I have nothing. But I am going to take us to the Word, and the Word's going to tell us something. See? Now, the Word says that there is a message that came from him. And we see in the previous verse that him is Jesus Christ. That's the source of the message, not from John. See, John's not inspired. Does that surprise you? The writers of Scripture are not inspired. It's the Scripture that's inspired. God moved holy men of God as they were moved along by the Holy Spirit, and they gave us the Scripture. See? But the Scripture is the inspired part, not John. So John can't tell us anything of himself. He got the message from him, from Jesus Christ. And Jesus came, remember, to reveal the Father, to reveal what God is like. In John 1:18, he says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten one who is in the bosom of the Father, this one has declared him. That's what his job was to do, to reveal the Father, to reveal the Godhead, as a matter of fact. In Hebrews 1:3, we read that he is the brightness of his glory. That is, Jesus is the brightness of the glory of God and the express image of his person. He is God himself. He even said himself, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. So he was there to reveal the Father, and now he is giving a message to John and saying, this is the message. This is how you have fellowship with God. And who could know better than Jesus Christ himself, who has fellowship with God, with the Father, for all eternity. Now, that's the message. That is the source of the message. Then, the urgency of the message. Why is this so urgent? Well, there were false teachers in the world in that day, and there were false teachers in the area where John is sending this epistle. And those false teachers, he calls them antichrists in chapter 2, verse 18. Those false teachers were saying they had fellowship with God. And yet they were teaching that Jesus is not God. They were teaching that the holiness of God is not true. God is not holy. And they were denying even the reality of sin. That's what these antichrists were doing. And then they were saying, oh yeah, we have fellowship with God. We all have fellowship with God. Well, you don't have fellowship with God believing those things. And so they were living in sin and saying they had fellowship with God. And unless a Christian knows the right thing, he'll fall for anything. And John was concerned. You may fall for that. You may say these antichrists are true. Not so. And so they needed this message. It was very urgent that John give it to them. And, of course, we do too. So the source of the message, the urgency. Now the content. What is he saying? What is this message that John was so concerned to give to these people? Well, the message is that God is light. Remember in the beginning? Who is the one who created all things? None other than this person, Jesus Christ. The second person of the Godhead. He created all things. Now, he's the one who said, let there be light. And there was light. And so, this is the one who not only shows the light, he is the light. Job said, or God said to Job, do you know the path of light? I learned this yesterday. And of course not. The answer is, of course not. He didn't know the light. We don't know the light. We have to go to the one who is the light. And that's what he's saying. God is light. Man can't know the light, but he can know the one who is the light. And so we go to him. Now, he says, secondly, there is no darkness in him. God is light, and there is no darkness in him, none at all. In fact, it's a special thing there, a double negative there, that says God is light, and there is no darkness, not at all. He wants you to know there is not one speck of darkness in God. He is light, total light. Now, that double negative is special, unlike English. If you use a double negative in English, what do you get? A positive. So if you say, I don't have no apples, that means you have apples. You know, I don't have no apples. Well, you have apples, because you said you don't have no apples, so you must have some apples. Well, that's what a double negative does in English. In Greek, a double negative makes it even stronger negative. We find that in John 10:28. I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You could translate that, they shall never, ever perish, because there are two negatives there. And then in Hebrews 13:5, my favorite passage on the negative things, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Five negatives. Five negatives. The negatives are ooh, me, ooh, the, ooh, me. Five negatives there in that one verse. Do you think he's ever going to leave you? No. I will never, ever, 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 ever leave you or forsake you. Huh? Five negatives. If I thought about this, I would have sung this morning, maybe better than some of those who didn't know, How Firm a Foundation. You know that song? How Firm a Foundation. One verse is this. The soul that on Jesus shall lean from repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I will never, no, never, no, never forsake. Wow. There's a songwriter who knows something about not only the Bible, but about the Greek text, because you can't see that in English. This man knew the Bible. He knew the Greek text. I will never, no, never, no, never forsake. See? That's a man who knows something about the Word. He has a right to write hymns. He didn't just pick up a guitar and say, la, 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 yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. What is that? Yeah? No. He got something out of the Word. And when you sing his song, you're singing the Word. And you're worshiping the Lord because the Lord gave the Word. What kind of thing is that? Well, anyway, enough of that. The little music here. So the heretics were saying that God has some evil, and there's some evil in him, so that would excuse their evil. See? John says, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And the heretics were saying, oh no, that's not true. Oh, there's a little bit of darkness in everything, and God has a little darkness in him. So why do you think they were saying that? Well, maybe to excuse their sin. You know, God made man in his image. And then man returned the favor. They made God in their image. And that's the way people are. They make a God who's like them. A God who fits them, who suits them. And that's what people do. Well, now God is not totally light. If he were totally light, he wouldn't be doing this and this, and I imagine there's some problems in. They had a background, maybe the heathen background. The heathen, you remember, all their gods had evil in them. Remember Diana of the Ephesians, Acts chapter 18, and Paul was preaching the one true God, and all the people brought their idols and things and burned them, and silversmiths got all worked up about that. They wanted to drag Paul in prison. Remember all that? That was worship of Diana the Ephesians, or Artemis if you prefer. Do you know what they did for Diana, worshiping Diana the Ephesians? Prostitution in the temple. You want to worship God? Okay, come on in here and go into the brothel there. And you can worship God. That's what their gods were like. And so I can imagine that they say, oh, now we'll worship God. And there's probably a little sin in God too. And John makes sure they understand. No, no. There is no darkness in God at all. But they come from the Jewish background. They might have gone to Isaiah 45 and verse 7, where God says this, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. Whoop. The word there, it's the word evil, ra. And the word, it means calamity. In the context, you see, it means calamity. The hurricane, the windstorm, the tornado, whatever. I create evil. I create all these things. But it doesn't say, it doesn't mean evil, evil in character. He creates all things. There are a lot of people who want to say that God created evil, you know. Well, one of these days we'll attack that too. But John is making sure you understand. Whether you come from the heathen background and all those gods, or you misunderstand the God of the Old Testament and you think that he has evil, forget that. God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. And John wanted to make sure that his people knew that. And whether this was a threat at that time, I don't know. But he wanted to make sure that they and we know that God is light, and you should not at all excuse your sin and say, oh, well, God doesn't mind. God does mind. And God will break fellowship with you in your sin. Well, that's the message that John had. God is light, in him is no darkness. What does that mean? Well, he goes on in verse 6 to say, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, three things. What we say, what we do, and what we are. That's all he's saying. What we say. We say we have fellowship. Now, who is we? That's not good English, but who is we? Well, the we here is, oh my. The we is us. We've met the enemy and he is us. Well, that's where we is us. We is John. See? John says, if we say this, that includes John. That means that John can do this. See? That means Christians can do this. He's writing to Christians. If we, Christians, say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, then we lie and do not the truth. Christians can walk in darkness. Right? That's what he's saying. So, we, the apostle and the readers, we can do that. He's not saying we like it's a third person. If someone or whatever, some commentators say that. No, it's we. It's the apostle. It's Christians. It's possible for John and for his readers to do this. So, there's nothing wrong with that. Is there something wrong with saying I have fellowship with God? Maybe if you are making it some proud thing. But we ought to be. We ought to be having fellowship with God. That's not the problem. To say we have fellowship with God is good, but what we do is the problem. If we say we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, see, then that's the problem. If we say we have fellowship and at the same time we're walking in darkness, then there's something wrong with that. Now, what's walking in darkness? Walking in darkness is to move into a moral and spiritual sphere from which God is absent. You're walking in a sphere where God is not there. Wherever you walk, God is not there. If you're walking in darkness, God's not with you. You're walking over here in the dark area, and God left you a long time ago. He's in the light. Right? Can't do that. You can't say, I'm walking in darkness, I'm walking in the area of immorality, and I'm in fellowship with God. No way. John says that's wrong. You can't do that. Because God is light. You can't walk in darkness and walk in fellowship with God. He's walking in a realm of evil. And God remains in the realm of holiness. That's the thing. That's the problem. He's walking in darkness. Now, what are you then? The statement is patently false. That's what John is saying. It is absolutely false to say that. Now, what do we call someone who tells a lie? What do you call someone who tells a lie? A liar. You got that right. And that's what John says. John says, the one who says, I'm walking in the light, and he's walking in darkness. I have fellowship with God, and I'm walking in darkness. That man is a liar. Don't sugarcoat it. Oh, he's not exactly right. He's exactly wrong. He's a liar. That's what we have to call him. That's exactly what he is, a liar. He's not walking in fellowship with the Holy God, walking in darkness. He's saying something that's inconsistent with the truth. Because the truth is, God is holy. Now, notice, John did not say, if we say we have a relationship with God and walk in darkness. He says, if we have fellowship, we have a relationship with God, we don't have, he's not saying we don't have fellowship with God. Remember, Gospel of John, relationship. Epistle of John, fellowship. That's what he's saying. So, the means of fellowship. Well, how do we do this? If it's wrong to walk in darkness and not being in fellowship, then how can we have fellowship with God? The means of fellowship, verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's how we walk in fellowship. First of all, walking in the light. Walking in the realm where God is. Now notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say walking according to the light. If you said a walking according to the light, then you'd have to be perfect. You can't do that. Walking in the light. Now, how do I walk in the light? Well, what is fellowship? Fellowship is sharing. On the human realm, we share in time. We take time. Sometimes somebody come in the office and sit down and we'll share some time together. And they'll say, are you busy? Yeah, I'm busy, but I'm not too busy to share with you. You know, that's it. But we share. We share time. We share experiences. That's why, you know, your brothers and sisters, you fellowship with them all the time. You go back to the old hometown. There are a few of them still there. And you start talking about, oh, remember so-and-so? Remember what he did this? Remember you did that? I don't remember I did that. You did that. Whatever. Experiences. That's why we have those ties with our family, because we share things. See? And that's what fellowshipping is, sharing things. We share property. Melanie and I own a house together. me and the bank. we share it together. But we share that, see? And when people break up, divorce, what happens to the property? Oh, we fight over it, you know? No fellowship there, see? All right. All I'm saying is, fellowship is sharing things. Well, if we're going to walk in the light, if we're going to fellowship with God, we share things with God. Now, how do I do this? Well, if I walk in the light, here I am, I'm walking in the light. What do you have to do to walk in the light? You walk in the light. If I go into a lighted room, I'm walking in the light. That's all there is to it. I'm walking in the light. See, you have to be in the right place. Be in the place where God is. Walking with God, walking in the light. And there's no big deal about walking in the light. Now, I'll just walk around. So, how do I walk in the light of God? Well, I do it by sharing. On the human level, I share time, experiences, and property. Well, with God, I share in His Word. I share in my time with Him. So I walk in the light, and I know the message to me is here in the Word, so I get in the Word. I pray to Him. That's talking with Him. That's what fellowship is. You know? Somebody comes in and sits down in my chair there, and we talk. That's fellowshipping. I'm talking to Him. He talks back to me. That's fellowship. Right? We walk in the light. Sharing Him in prayer, sharing in the Word. Now, we have fellowship in the light. We have fellowship with one another. at first, when I first heard that, I thought, we have fellowship with one another. That means if we walk in the light, then you and I have fellowship. Don't think so. I think what he's saying is, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. If we walk in the light, God is light, we walk in the light, then we have fellowship with God. Man, fellowship with the God of the universe, and you turned it down? Fellowshipping with the God of the universe. Not believers, not two believers, but God and me. Me and God. Talking, fellowshipping. I'm talking to him, he's talking to me. And he's always ready to do that. Then another thing that happens when I walk in the light is cleansing by the light. God is still holy. I'm walking with a holy God. And I'm still a sinner. So what happens? Well, while I'm walking in the light, my sin is exposed. I confess that sin, and he cleanses me. Now, I meant to turn off these back lights here for effect. And didn't do it. Forgot it. But if I walk over here, and I'm wearing a white coat, I even thought about wearing a white coat. This is white enough. If I'm in a dark room and I have a white coat on, it has spots all over it. I don't care. I don't know. I'm in the darkness. I can't see it. See? But if I walk in the light, I look at my coat. Oh my, it's dirty. And if I don't notice it, somebody else will. And she'll tell me about it. What? Dirt on my coat. How do I know that? Because I'm in the light. As I walk in the light, he sees that. He reminds me. I see that. And I confess that. And when I confess that, he cleanses that. And I am cleansed by walking in the light. That's fellowshipping with God. That's how you fellowship with a holy God. Amazing how easy it is. How simple it is. Walking in the light. Now, if I walk in the light, then God cleanses me. How does he do that? Verse 9. Next week, we'll talk about that. You might say, well, the Christian has already been forgiven. That's true. We'll find out next week about how that happens. Now, why don't believers walk in the light? Well, because you're now free. You're free. Before you were saved, you could do nothing but sin. You couldn't do anything to please God in your unsaved condition. That's what you are. You're in the old flesh, and you cannot do anything but please the flesh. Nothing. Then you're saved. See? You believe on Jesus Christ, you receive eternal life. Then what? Oh, now you have to serve God. No, not true. All you can do over here is serve the devil. Over here, you believe on Jesus, you have eternal life. Over here, you're free. See, don't miss that. You're free either to serve God or to serve the devil. Free. That's why Paul has to tell people, put off the old man, put on the new man. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. But you have to serve the Lord. You have to decide to serve the Lord. Now, whether you call it old nature, new nature, whatever you want to call it, there is a capacity for serving the Lord. There's a capacity for serving the devil. It's there. It's still possible to do. You have to decide. You have to come to the Word and say, I want to follow Jesus. Remember, we talked about this. You make the decision. I'm going to follow the Lord. That's a decision you make in your life. And every time something comes along, I gave myself to the Lord. I belong to Him. Everything I have belongs to Him. Well, should I take His money and buy this? Well, that's not the question. The question is, does that serve the Lord? Because I'm going to serve the Lord. I gave my money to the Lord. Does the Lord want me to use the money for that? See? My time. My time belongs to the Lord. I've already decided I'm going to serve the Lord. I gave him my time. What does he want me to do with my time, with his time now? See? That's the question. The question is not, do I do this or not? It's whether that will serve the Lord. See? That's what we call the carnal and the spiritual Christian. Are you going to be carnal? Or are you going to be spiritual? Are you going to walk with the Lord or not? Well, I learned a little poem. Not unusual for me. I like poems. I like poetry. Here it is. Very spectacular. Are you ready? Pussycat, pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to visit the Queen. Pussycat, pussycat, what did you there? I frightened a little mouse under her chair. Of all things. We saw the Queen movie last Friday night. Good movie. Though some people slept a little bit. Good movie. But if I went into the presence of the Queen, I think I'd be looking around Buckingham Palace, looking at the Queen, oh, bowing in your majesty, and I'd see all the beauty there. Why do you suppose? Why do you suppose a pussycat frightened a little mouse under her chair? Because it's a pussycat. That's his nature. Right? So what nature are you serving? Are you serving the old nature or the new nature, whatever you call it? Well, listen to this. What you are determines what you see. And what you see determines what you do. Are you in the old nature? Then what you see is going to determine what you do. If you're operating in the new nature, what you see in the Word, what you see walking with the Lord, that's going to determine what you do for the Lord. Fellowshipping with God. That's what it's about.